Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the head of the Israeli Defence Forces has vowed that Iran's unprecedented attack on Saturday will be met with a response, but it's unclear what form this will take, with speculation growing that Israel may launch a cyber attack targeting Iran's economy. Well, the current spate of violence started with a strike on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, which killed several Iranian military targets. Iran's reaction was to launch over 300 drones and missiles at military targets across Israel, but with help from allies, over 99% of those were shot down. The US, UK and France have all advised Israel not to further escalate tensions with Iran, as President Joe Biden put it, take the win. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich. You're welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
Is your country going to do as Joe Biden says, take the win and not further escalate tensions with Iran?
I think before we fast forward to what will happen and speculations about what might happen, we need to talk about what actually happened on that night of Saturday, this unprecedented attack on Israel, putting so many civilians, endangering all of Israel. What Iran meant to do was hurt and kill and destroy much more than actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, with the technology and with the help of allies, 99% of those 60,000 kilograms of ammunition were intercepted. But that's not what Iran wanted. So as an international community, we need to join and together firmly hold them accountable.
They gave you advance warning of that, though, and that is why you and your allies could come together to shoot those down. In fact, they had been saying from the 1st of April that they were going to retaliate. So you did have advance notice to get the Iron Dome in place to make sure that this would be stopped.
Our Iron Dome is always active because, unfortunately, we're under threat not just by Iran, but also by Hamas, Hezbollah and other enemies around the region, all sponsored by Iran. So when we say repeatedly for years, for decades, that Iran is behind this, that all roads of terrorism lead to Iran, we hope now that the international community will take us seriously. And we've seen with the help of allies that understand this concern. This is a threat not just on Israel. This is a regional threat and an international threat.
So are you asking the international community to take on Iran with you now? Is that what you're saying?
The international community is already joining us. And
but,
as
but
we've seen, it wasn't
the
just...
The American president said that they would defend with you, but they will not attack with you. And we need to be really clear. Is that what you're asking your allies to do?
I think, again, we're fast-forwarding to speculations and assumptions. And right now, we need to hold Hamas and Iran accountable for what they're doing. The involvement of Iran didn't just start on Saturday. For 193 days since Hamas launched their attack, they've been sponsored and encouraged by Iran. So Iran has been an active player in this war, in the region, destabilizing not just Israel, but all of our allies around us and international community when they encourage the Houthis to mm-hmm. attack shipping lines.
And what do you see as being the appropriate Israeli response now?
Again, I'll direct the question at the international community. Iran is not just looking at Israel and what will Israel do. Iran is looking at the international community and it's checking the lines of which red lines it crosses and how does the world retaliate, how does the world comment on that. Israel obviously has the right to defend itself, but the international community, which sees this threat, as many of our forces, our coalition forces on Saturday, they understand that this is a bigger threat than mm-hmm. Israel. This is a threat on all of the free democratic world.
We have heard about this prospect of a cyber attack, perhaps, that is something that Israel might do, which would avoid civilian casualties. Would you welcome a non-military response from your government?
What I will welcome is a clear sign to Iran that we will not tolerate. This attack is unacceptable.
What does that look like, that clear
well,
sign?
It's not just us saying that this attack is unacceptable. Even the leadership and government here in Ireland said it. Other EU members, most of the EU countries, the United States, the UK, most of the world understand Iran is a threat. For years, we've been saying that we need to take their strategic goals very seriously, and we should act on it.
But
be it a diplomatic offense, like our foreign minister has launched right now, a diplomatic offense in the sense that we are collaborating with all of our allies to send a very clear message to Iran. So I urge you not to concentrate on speculations of what Israel might do or might not do, but concentrate on what message do we want the world to give to Iran.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what you're telling me that message should be or what should look like. Because all of the world leaders we've spoken about are phoning your prime minister, and we have Rishi Sunak making that call today, urging restraint. What are you seeking from them?
We don't want an escalation of the situation.
Okay.
We don't want a continuation of the war in Gaza. We don't want to continue the suffering on our side and on the Palestinian side. But when we say that, it also means that we cannot live with an imminent threat on our doorstep. And all of this, Iran right now ties it with a war in Gaza in a very absurd and cynical way. Don't fall into the narrative of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The kidnapped need to be released immediately. Hamas needs to stop their genocidal attempts against Israel immediately. And Iran needs to be held accountable for what they're doing.
As an ambassador yourself, are you concerned that embassies in third countries, like the Iranian embassy in Syria, are now legitimate targets? Is that a precedent that you could support?
I'll make a separation, because what we've seen in Syria, it's an IRGC headquarters, which is one of the malign agencies of Iran, sponsoring and spreading terrorism internationally. So it does not enjoy the privileges of a diplomatic entity.
So you're saying this was not an embassy?
What we do see is that Iran has been threatening, and not just Iran, terror organizations like Hamas, like Hezbollah, they have been threatening our embassies and diplomatic missions around the world. They are responsible for the attack on our embassy in Argentina years ago, on Jewish institutions. They are constantly trying to attack us everywhere in the world. So that's what we mean when we say that the threat is on all of us, unfortunately.
This missile attack, I mean, it was a high-risk gamble that Israel took in going for the Iranian embassy in Syria in the way that you did.
Again, I'll just remind you that in that building in Syria, what we've seen is headquarters of IRGC, which is one of the terror infrastructures of Iran, with people who are terrorists responsible not just for the October.
You don't deny carrying out that attack, which has left us in this position where you and your allies had to shoot down 300 missiles on Saturday night.
If you're dragged into the narrative of who did it, you're dragged into the story of Iran. Iran claims that this is a tit for tat. Iran didn't join, supposedly, the war on Saturday. Iran has been directly involved in the war in Gaza for the past 193 days, and they've been involved in the region for years and decades. They've been spreading their terrorism for years.
But this
and
attack
they don't
on the embassy,
it
takes it to another level. And
when
it,
you
it
say
puts
that
your
it,
people in further danger. I mean, I was listening to people speaking about hearing the sirens on Saturday night, wondering when these missiles were going to land and where they were going to land. That response from Iran was provoked by Israel.
I reject that accusation, because what we see is a direct involvement of Iran. For years, if you're dragged into the narrative as if somehow it started and now they're so-called retaliating, then you're dragged into the narrative as if they're a responsible entity, which they are not. And it's not just about us. When we talk about the Islamic Republic of Iran and what they're doing internally for their people, and we see it with the violation of human rights, with the hijab manifestations, we need to support the people. So I'll separate the people from the regime.
Okay.
And the regime has been sponsored and spreading terror for years.
Well, there was a representative from the Iranian embassy on the News at One yesterday here on RTE, and he said that many Iranians have been killed in Syria and elsewhere by Israel. He said in the past 6 months and up to this point, Iran had showed restraint. But when their diplomatic mission was violated, they had to retaliate. And he made the point, if the position was reversed, and you might respond to this, if Iran had targeted an Israeli embassy, how
Iran
would your country
is targeting Israeli diplomatic missions, Israeli buildings, Israeli infrastructure, Jewish infrastructure. Iran is doing it for years, directly and through its proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, Shiite militias in Iraq. So Iran has been doing it. To refer to it cynically, the people who were killed in different countries are directly involved in terrorism and spreading ammunition around the region in order to destabilize the region. So to understand or to listen to what the so-called representative is saying face value, I think we need to be more critical of what he's saying. And what we see is that Iran bluntly calls for the elimination of the state of Israel. So you have a UN member that does not shy away from threatening another UN member. And this is why we need to
Of a country which is now looking at 30,000 people dead in Gaza. And your mission is to destroy Hamas. We know that.
But also the number is correct.
But if 50% of those people are terrorists, and that would be unimaginable that 50% of a population are terrorists. That means 15,000 innocent people, including women and children, are dead as a result of Israeli actions in Gaza.
There is no disagreement that this war is a tragic war. There is no disagreement that this should end, and it could end if all the kidnapped 133 people are returned immediately without any conditions, and Hamas's threats are eliminated. So this can all end. We all agree that this is tragic, but we need to ask ourselves why. And the cynical playbook of Hamas that are using their civilians, inflating numbers, the fact that they give numbers and the world just repeats that. We know that's what they say. They even admitted that about 10,000 of these so-called numbers might not be correct. The statistics don't add up.
The UN, the World Health Organization, they're all agree with those numbers. In fact, they
because
say
they're
there
repeating
could be
Hamas's
far more.
Number because we don't have another number.
Well, but you won't allow journalists in there, and you won't allow humanitarian aid in there, even if we accept your arguments on terrorism and on Hamas on face
because
value.
We don't
Why
want,
won't you do that?
We don't want to see more people, more innocent people, get killed. And the tragic incident when people get killed,
so journalists,
we evaluate
humanitarian
all
workers,
of that.
None of those people are safe in Gaza because of the actions of Israel.
Because of Hamas. When we don't condemn Hamas for what they're doing in civilian infrastructure, like hospitals, what we've seen in hospitals in Gaza is shocking. Yet I don't hear a lot of people here in Ireland talk about it. And I understand the pro-Palestinian sentiment, and I understand the concern for the Palestinian people, but not speaking about Hamas's atrocities towards its own population that doesn't benefit Palestinians, let alone Israelis. But if you want to help the Palestinian people in Gaza, they need to be freed from Hamas as well. We all agree. Hamas does not want coexistence, not just with us, also with the Palestinian Authority. They don't want coexistence, and they need to be freed.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in. That is the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.